Hi guys, and welcome to episode 16 of Trust in the Process with myself, Deborah Chosen. How have you guys been? How's your mama? How your daddy? How your sister? Your cousin and them? So I actually got that from... No, everyone's going to be like, what the heck? I actually got that saying from a YouTuber who I used to watch a lot of called Gabe Flowers. If anybody else can relate, if anybody else remembers, Gabe and Babe TV. I don't know if people are still watching them, but anyway, she used to always say, how your cousin and them. And it stuck with me since. But anyways, I digress. How are you guys doing? So today we are finally, because it's been some time, going to be having a one-on-one episode with one another. Of course, I love doing these kind of episodes. It gives me an opportunity to just kind of share where my head is at, what's on my heart, and I love to kind of open up about lessons that I feel we can all benefit from. So this episode is going to be no different to that. But before we do jump into the fullness of it, general life updates as we always do up and through here. First and foremost, I wanted to say thank you for the support and the feedback that was given on the last episode with the Amazing Sutra. If you haven't already checked out episode 15, this was a great conversation that I was able to have with Dr. artist, writer, sutra, all around mental health. We spoke about therapy, we spoke around about identity and kind of navigating a loss of joy, which actually is going to be quite a nice segue into today's episode, which will of course be dealing with leaning into joy. Also, what else has happened recently is that I turned 28. Yes, your girl had her birthday on the 5th of June. That time last year, of course, I did record a podcast. This year there was no birthday episode. However, we're going to be delving a little bit more into that in this episode. But it was one of the best birthdays ever. So I'm feeling very, very grateful for that. Career-wise, y'all, there are some changes in the works. Let's put it that way. Okay. I personally, right now, I'm navigating a potential pivot in my career. So recently, I've been reading this book called You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero. And one of the things that she says within there is that, yes, it's hard to be brave enough to live the life that you deserve. But what's harder is settling for a life that you know is less than, you know, it's less than what you actually want. And I think for me right now in my career, it's been a time for me to ask myself those honest questions. It's been a time for me to figure out what it is that I want, what it is that I enjoy, and of course one of my favorite questions, which is what is it that makes me come alive. And so I'm really just kind of paying more attention to that, asking myself some hard questions, asking what God is saying. We're just trying to grind out here, because I feel that careers are so important. You invest so much time in the job that you are in, it makes sense to enjoy it. So that's kind of what's been going on in my life. Essentially, there's been a lot of adulting happening at a rapid rate. A lot more of that, I'm sure I will explain in due course. But overall, your girl is good, all is well, and I'm really looking forward to getting into today's episode, which is all about leaning into joy and the value of relationships. So without further ado, let's just jump right in, shall we? Okay, so let's talk about leaning into joy and what kind of inspired the thought. So leaning into joy is a phrase which I kind of coined towards the end of May. It kind of came to me in a season where I was realizing that we have an ability to truly take a hold of our joy, to truly be in control of it and to enjoy it, to actually enjoy joy for all that it is worth. And so I think it might be helpful for me to start by reading a caption which I shared on the TTP Instagram page, which kind of introduces you guys to the idea. So I said this: recently, I've been thinking a lot about joy and how we experience it. How and why do we rob ourselves of the experience? I was talking with a friend this week as they shared some good news. Elated for them, I said, "This is great. This is good." To which they replied despondently, "I don't know. It feels too good to be true." In that moment, I listened attentively as they continued to talk themselves out of a good thing. This is just one of the ways we often delay or prohibit joy from manifesting. So why do we avoid leaning into joy? I want to begin with asking this question. Why do we oftentimes sabotage our own joy? Why do we tend to stand in the way of our own joy? I think one of the reasons is that we sometimes don't feel that we deserve to experience joy. I'll take you guys back to March this year when I did Trust in the Process Live. Of course, it was arguably one of the happiest days of my life because I was finally doing something that I'd wanted to do for such a long time. And in that moment, I was really blessed to be able to do that. However, and I've spoken about this in the episode with Hannah Ajala, which I think was episode 14, and we spoke about the fact that at that time, I actually suffered heavily from imposter syndrome, and I don't think I'd ever experienced it that much up until that point. Now, the dangerous thing about the fact that I was experiencing imposter syndrome is that everyone was kind of asking me, oh my God, how do you feel? You must feel amazing, da 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 da, post the event. And I actually didn't. I didn't experience that because I felt like an imposter in a way. I also felt that I didn't deserve to experience the level of joy that, you know, one should experience when they've put on their first live podcast event. And so sometimes why we feel we don't deserve it is we feel that we are less than. We feel that we haven't done the work that is necessary to experience this level of joy. We just, for whatever reason, we disqualify ourselves from the opportunity to be happy because deep down we don't feel that we are worthy. Another reason why we may avoid leaning into joy is that we often rehearse tragedy. Now, this is a term that I came across through Brené Brown in her Netflix show, which was called The Call to Courage. Now, to further explain what rehearsing tragedy is, it's the idea that if you've experienced trauma in any sort of area or maybe even just a disappointment, it's possible that when you become in contact with that said thing again, you begin to rehearse tragedy. So, for example, if within relationships you are used to dating people who are emotionally unavailable, once you meet someone who actually is, there's a potential for you to begin to rehearse tragedy. So for you to begin to actually replay that same emotional unavailability. And as you're replaying it, what you're actually doing is creating it. So some ways that that may play out is there's actually absolutely nothing wrong in this situation. There's nothing wrong in the middle of the conversation that you're having with this person. However, because you're so used to a certain tragedy being within a relationship, you then begin to self-sabotage. So you might say something that will provoke the person, or you might do something that will cause them to do something wrong for you to affirm that, yes, I knew a tragedy was going to take place. I hope this is all making sense. There's a quote that I saw on Instagram which sums this up really nicely, I think. And it says that the hardest relationship is the healthy one after the toxic relationship. When I heard this, I was like, come all the way through. The hardest relationship is the healthy one after the toxic relationship. Again, it's because we have to intentionally undo our temptation to rehearse tragedy. When you're actually in a healthy relationship, if you're so used to the trauma that comes with a toxic one, sometimes that in itself can be difficult. And so that habit of rehearsing tragedy, of practicing pain, can actually work as a stumbling block towards us truly experiencing joy. We self-sabotage because it's what we know, or sometimes because of the fear that it will happen eventually anyways. Another reason why we often avoid leaning into joy is that sometimes pain can feel more familiar than joy. The fact of the matter is, human nature is that we tend to cling to what is known. And so if what is more familiar to you is pain, is suffering, is difficulty, sometimes we can actually reject joy because that experience in such a depth of happiness can actually feel uncomfortable at first if it's not something that you have been previously used to. So to put that into other words, if joy feels foreign to you, if experiencing peace of mind in a relationship is new to you, it can be that that is actually uncomfortable as well. You know, even though this thing on paper is a great opportunity and is healthy, because it's new to you, because it's new to your mind, it's new to your heart, it's a new experience for you, it can actually bring with it feelings of discomfort. And the reason why I wanted to begin this conversation by laying out what we sometimes do to self-sabotage is for us to just recognize patterns, is for us to recognize ways that we sometimes can stand in the way of our own joy. These are ways that I had to realize for myself. You know, I took inventory in this season and I kind of looked at my life and I said to myself, what am I doing to stand in the way of my own joy? What are the things that knowingly and unknowingly I am putting out there that are actually prohibiting me from experiencing the fullness of joy that God intended for us to experience? you know, I believe wholeheartedly that our lives were created for us to enjoy them. We're not here to endure life and then, you know, the good times will be heaven. The good times are supposed to be here on earth. That's why Jesus died, that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And so therefore, if he wants for me to have an abundant life, then I deserve joy. On the basis of that and that alone, you are deserving of joy, you are deserving of love, and you are deserving of deep happiness that shakes your world. And so how can we learn to lean into joy? How can we actually actively welcome joy until it becomes the norm in our lives? So one of the things that we can do is that in moments of joy, learn to express yourself. When you are happy, say it out loud. Now, the reason I say this is because I think we become so used to speaking about our pain. We become so used to speaking about bad days. We become so used to speaking about the things that hurt. Whereas opening our mouths to say, I'm really happy right now. Opening our mouths to say, I feel very content. Opening our mouths to say, today was a good day, is not always something that we're so quick to do. If someone makes you feel good, if someone makes you feel loved, if someone makes you feel cherished, let them know that. Affirming yourself in moments of joy normalizes the experience. It communicates to yourself that what you're feeling is normal, that what you're feeling is deserving, and that it is good. I often ask myself, and I've said this before, but I often ask myself how I am. So I kind of take inventory and I check, like, how am I actually feeling in this moment? Am I good? Am I okay? Am I happy? Do I feel nervous? Like, where am I at? I don't know if you've ever spoken to a friend and they ask you how you are and they're like, oh, hey girl, like, how are you? Okay, I don't know why they don't know why they'd happen to be American in this scenario, but let's go with that. They're American, right? And they're like, hey girl, or hey guy, or hey my G, that doesn't work in American accent, but they're saying hey, right? And they're basically like, how are you? And in that moment, maybe because you're coming out of a season where there was difficulty or there was hardships, or there were hardships rather. So in that moment, when they ask you, how are you? You discover that actually there's not anything to complain about. There's, for once, nothing to lament about. Maybe the song that you've become so used to singing is one of pain and is one of difficulty and is one of, you know, battling. But not every season is going to be a fight. Not every season is going to be a battle. Not every season is misery. And I say that because some seasons will come with difficulties. Some seasons will require a fight from you. But this mentality of, oh, my life's, I had to fight. Like, every day does not have to be a fight. And now, when I say that, I'm not trying to negate that there will be hard times. But when you are actually happy, saying to someone, you know what, I'm actually good. Like, I'm in a really good place right now. And then not feeling guilty for that, not feeling that you're not worthy of that is so powerful. So recognizing that you're happy and actually speaking it out, when we do so, we are affirming ourselves, we are affirming the joy in our lives, and we're basically saying that I am deserving. In that moment, we're saying to ourselves that life may not be perfect, but in this moment, I am happy, and that is enough. Another way that we can learn to lean into joy is by being present with the people that bring us peace. Now, this has been a biggie for me in this season. So that's partly why, of course, part of this episode is called The Value of Relationships. One of the things that God's really been teaching me is about making time for healthy relationships. Create room for new friends, for new interactions, for rekindling flames within your friendships, you know, for being with people. And the reason why I say be present with the people that bring you peace is because I think that sometimes we spend time with people, but actually we're absent-minded, especially in this generation where we have our Instagrams, okay, and we have, you know, our distractions left, right, and center. Sometimes we're with people, but we're not truly with them. And I've made a conscious decision in this season to be more present with myself, to be more present with people. One of the ways that I've been doing that recently was, you know, when I attend events, I had a habit sort of, you know, kind of posting on the gram throughout the event. So sharing the moments as they were happening. And don't get me wrong, sometimes that may still happen. And I'm not saying there's anything necessarily wrong with that. However, I had to recognize that for myself, one of the ways I was able to be more present was by simply posting later, So I might still take the picture in the moment. I might still do the video in the moment to share it, but I'm sharing it later. I'm allowing myself to truly experience the fullness of what is happening in the now. There's something about healthy relationships that enables you to truly experience joy and to experience it to its fullest. There's something about conversations. You know, I always say that the art of conversation is a gift. I'm so big on talking because when we talk, we're able to heal. When we talk, we're able to uplift. We're able to kind of transcend thoughts and emotions and you know, harmful ideologies that maybe previously we had when we simply have a healthy conversation with someone. And so, yes, do your self-care. Be about your business, you know, be the kind of person that is invested in your personal development, but do not neglect the beauty in community. You know, I had to recognize that I'd spent a long time being introspective. I'd spent a long time doing the work, and that's great. But there comes a time where you have to get out of your head and around the people that remind you what it's like to laugh from the belly. You know, you have to get out of being with yourself and allow yourself to enjoy other people's company. And so be present with the people that bring you peace. Another way that we can learn to lean into joy is by practicing gratitude. So as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, in June the 5th, I turned 28, and I spoke a little bit about it on the Trust in the Process Instagram page, but that there was a strong contrast between this year and how I experienced joy and my last birthday and how difficult that was for me and how there was a loss of joy on that day. So to give you context, my last birthday, although it ended well, the day didn't begin well because I was in a space where I was very discontent. I had expectations that were not realistic of others. I was placing a lot of my dependency, a lot of my joy in other people's hands, which is the most dangerous thing you can ever do because you are the author of your own happiness. But then this year, I realized that I had reached a place where I've been practicing gratitude. I've been intentionally practicing it. And I say intentionally because I think that for me, gratitude is one of those things that I have to be intentional about. I think being grateful doesn't always come natural to us. That's the reality of life. Like, we'd love to say that it does. We'd love to say that every morning we wake up and we're like, thank you, God, for another day. But sometimes in the hustle bustle of life or just in, you know, the low moments of life, it becomes easy for us to forget to say thank you. I've spoken about this amongst friends, but one thing that I started doing this year as well was to just write down things that I'm grateful for from time to time. Gratitude has a way of magnifying the little yet beautiful things in our lives. You know, last year when it was my birthday, I set my expectations on others to make me feel celebrated, happy, loved. This year, I dropped the entitlement mentality, you know, the idea that anyone owes me my happiness. I let go of it. And the crazy thing is when I let go of that, joy flowed through. You know, it meant that I truly appreciated every little thing that anyone did for me around my birthday, any voice note, any message, any way that people showed up, it truly meant a lot to me. So what I found is that this year, everything was a bonus and a blessing, and it felt amazing. You know, as Minister Coffee says, gratitude is a must. Gratitude is a must. When we simply change our mindset and we choose gratitude, we say to joy, come in, you can dwell here. You know, I saw a quote the other day on Instagram, which I absolutely love, by Terrell Lewis. And it basically says, work on having multiple streams of happiness. And I love this idea because to solely place our happiness in one place, to put the responsibility of our happiness on any other person or on anything, is a very, very dangerous space to exist in. If we work on having multiple streams of happiness, so a stream of happiness can be your friendships, a stream of happiness can be your job, a stream of happiness can be doing something that makes you come alive. When we're intentional about that and active about that, we find that we begin to lean into joy, and joy in turn begins to lean into you in a way that you never could have imagined before. And so this season for me has been one of learning to lean into joy and to value my relationships. God has really shown me in crazy ways how those that we choose to surround ourselves can shift our minds, can shift our hearts, can shift just the atmosphere within our lives in such a powerful way. And so I think for me, you can't really talk about learning to lean into joy without discussing the joy within relationships. And so to give you guys a bit of context, I've always been the kind of person that has considered myself a pretty decent friend. You know, I've always enjoyed friendships. At every single point in my life, I've had a best friend. I remember in primary school in Scotland, her name was Ailey. Shout out to you, wherever you are. In primary school in Birmingham, it was Amanda Patterson. Yes, I gave you the full government name. In secondary school, I had a best friend, and we're still best friends to this day. I've just always found a lot of wealth, a lot of health in having relationships in my life. However, around March this year, I was in a season where I needed to take inventory and to ask myself some honest questions about the quality of relationships in my life and how I was or was not investing in those relationships. So I kind of entered into this bubble. I realized that I'd entered into this bubble where I was doing everything kind of solo dolo. So because I was working so hard on the podcast and career stuff, I was sort of investing more energy into the things I was doing than the people I was being with. And I think for me, when it became apparent was actually during my live event. So I know I spoke about this earlier, but another thing that I kind of experienced during that time was that I'd placed so much emphasis and so much focus in doing things by myself and just kind of powering through it, that when it was now time for my event, I felt, this was not true, but I felt that I didn't really have the grounds to stand on to ask for help from my friends, because it felt like, well, Deborah, you've been running solo for so long, how are you now suddenly going to just pick up the phone and expect people to be there for you when you haven't invested in them to the extent that you know that you can? And so that season kind of led me into one of thinking about my relationships. I noticed that really this year, but more so in that season, I was meeting a lot of new people, like a lot. And it wasn't something that I was necessarily being intentional about. It just kept on kind of happening. And as a result of it, although my newer relationships were blossoming, some of my existing relationships were actually suffering. You know, I needed to kind of manage the juxtaposition between my world opening up to new people and opening up my world to the same people that had always been there, which is not an easy balance to strike. One of the things that you guys know I'm incredibly passionate about is talking about doing the work. I'm very, very big on doing the internal work, on personal development, on asking yourself hard questions in order for you to be a better person. In this season, God has been showing me that what use is doing the work if you're not able to be in relationships where you can put the work to the test. So it's one thing to do the personal work when you're alone. It's one thing to work on your anger when you're by yourself. It's one thing to work on patience when you're by yourself. One of the best ways that you're able to put those things into practice is in the form of relationship, is in when you are in relationship with people. And when I say in relationship, I'm not just speaking about romantic relationships at all. You know, I'm speaking about your friendships. I'm speaking about your relationship with your parents, with your family, with your friends. I think that sometimes we can become so invested in our personal development and protecting our energy and our self-care that we're only able to thrive alone. And I know it sounds crazy, because thriving alone is important. Yes, there's a place for that. But how do you behave when you're in a relationship? Are you as patient when you have to be patient with someone else and not just yourself? Are you as kind to someone else as you've learned to be to yourself? Even your life's work, you know, even the thing that you do, the thing that you choose to dedicate your life to, is made that much fuller when it is shared, when it is shared with others. The reality of life is that you were made for relationship. And I think for me in this season, it has become clearer to me now more than ever before that I was made for relationship. I've always felt that healthy relationships add a certain richness to my life and to our lives. You know, there's a certain level of fullness that I feel when the quality of my relationships is correct. This season has been intentionally and organically about God showing me his love through other people. And, you know, I'll be honest, sometimes people kind of ask me questions like, oh, how do you make friends? Or, you know, how have you been able to develop the kind of relationships you have in your life? And it takes work. I'm not always a good friend. You know, like I said, in March, it took doing my live event for me to realize that there was somewhat of a hole in my relationships, for me to realize that I'd been doing so much of the work on myself, but I hadn't done that same amount of work in my relationships. And so one of the things that I had to do was to pray. I asked God to help me to be a better friend, to show me the kind of relationships I should be investing in, to bring the right kind of people into my life. And I truly believe that when we choose to focus on genuine connection over idealism, over false pretenses, the right kind of relationships come to us. When we choose to truly be with people, and when we choose to let people be who they are in our presence, we're able to connect in a way that we can never have experienced before. Ask yourself what it is that you need from your relationships in this season. Challenge yourself to better show up in those relationships. It might surprise you how world-changing it can be. When we seek to increase the quality in our relationships, in turn, the quality of our lives transform. When we lean into joy, we invite others to do so too. So guys, that was episode 16 of Trust in the Process with myself, Deborah Chosen. I really do hope that you've been able to benefit or gain something from the lessons that I've been learning in this season. I'd love to hear from you guys about learning to lean into joy and the value of relationships. Maybe this has inspired you to call that friend or just to allow yourself to be happy. Whatever the case may be, if you have enjoyed this conversation, then please be sure to rate this podcast. When you do so, you're basically enabling this content to get out further and further so that other people can also experience this. Also, be sure to share the podcast online. We are on Instagram at Trust in the Process Pod, and also myself at Deborah Chosen. I absolutely love seeing you guys' screen grabs and videos and any kind of way that this podcast has helped you. Thank you guys so much for listening, and until next time, remember to keep trusting the process, and I'll see you guys in the next one.